Bezrat Hashem. We're going to look at the question of Gilgulim, reincarnations. Okay, so most of what we're going to talk about, not all of it, but a lot of it, I'm taking from a book by Rav Avraham Trugman. Rav Avraham Trugman is a that's what he looks like. Oops. Avraham Trugman, there we go. He's a student of Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg, who is a Chabad Rav, mostly associated with Chabad, but one of the foremost writers, teachers in this generation on Kabbalistic works, on things of that nature. Anyway, so what Rav Trugman has here is a very interesting volume which explains the basis for reincarnation, where it comes from, how it works, what it's for, what's the idea, what we can learn from it, and it has some interesting things in there. So Bezrat Hashem, we will together learn some things about reincarnation. Okay, so let's kick off. So, as with any topic, you want to know anything about a topic, you have to look for its source. Look for its source in the Torah Kedusha. Look for its source in the holy books, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, but in the Torah is where we should try and start. So, where do we find reincarnation mentioned in the Torah? So, truth is, we're going to see later on, Bezrat Hashem, at the end, follow mostly the order that he's written in here. At the end of the book, there's a very nice section which talks about all the different reincarnations. This one reincarnated into that, this one reincarnated to him, and this was a rectification for that sin, and we'll get to it. And actually, the Torah is full. We're going to see at the end, Bli Neder, many different characters coming back to fix things that needed fixing. Right. So, within the Torah itself, there is many, many Gilgulim all over the place. We're going to see Bli Neder at the end. But in terms of learning about Gilgulim, where it's more explicit in the text, where do we see that? So, the first case is right at the beginning, Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, as we know, had initially two children, Cain and Hevel. What happened? Cain killed Hevel. After that was at the beginning. Some say it happened, they had the children in the Garden of Eden before they left. That was at the beginning, there was only two. Adam then separated from his wife for 130 years. Right? That was part of his teshuvah process. He was separate from his wife 130 years. And then, in the text, we don't know exactly when during that 130 years, but during that 130 years, Cain killed Hevel. And at some point after 130 years, Lemech comes to Adam and tells him that he should really go back to being with his wife again. So the text, the Torah says in Bereshit, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son named Seth. Why? Because God has provided me another child in place of Hevel, Abel, for Cain had killed him. So the pasuk here which says that God provided another child in place of Hevel is an indication, Kabbalistic texts say in other commentaries, that Seth was a reincarnation of Hevel, in place of Hevel. Why? Because Hevel didn't finish his job. Hevel was expected to live and complete his task, complete whatever he needed to complete during his years. And his life was cut short. So he needed to come back and finish. His neshama needed to come back and finish what it came down here to do. It got cut short in the middle, halfway. So therefore, Yes, that would have you looking unhappy.
You know, he wasn't supposed to die that age. Even if he was supposed to die, he was, his life was cut short.
Yes. Yes, to which bit? Yes, the word, the yes
you
answers or no?
He has to live like 120 years, and if you die before that, it's still 50 years cut short.
It's not necessarily a certain time that you need to live, but it's certain tasks that we need to do. We have things that we need to do in life. Tikkunim on Ashamas are broken, right? We know that after Adam's sin meant that Adam and Rishon was blemished because of the sin, and the 6,000 years of the of the Jewish history that follows Adam and Rishon comes to rectify it, comes to fix it. And all the neshamas that come out are said to come out from Adam HaRishon. We're all part of Adam HaRishon. Right? And to such an extent that Kabbalistically, the neshamot come from different parts of Adam HaRishon. So one neshama might come from his left elbow, another one comes from the right thigh. Within the right thigh, there's the bone and there's the flesh. And depends where you come from in this primordial body of Adam HaRishon.
Into his left or right as well.
Depends on what the job is to do. Well, each of the body we know in Kabbalistically has various meanings. The arms are this, the right arm, the left arm, the head, the legs. They all have different meanings. And everything works throughout the whole system of creation. It's based upon the Sefirot. The seven Sefirot, or the ten Sefirot, the seven and the three above, filters through right from Adam HaRishon, who is made in the image of God. Filtered through all the way down to everything in existence is based on those same principles, those same framework. Even to the fact that our neshama come out from Adam HaRishon in order to fix the whole of him. Right, we talk about the 248 positive commandments and the 365 negative ones, right, which represent the bones and the sinews of man, right, and you need to fix each one. So too on the individual, so too on the cloud. Each individual is also representing part of the picture of man, and also comes to rectify whatever he needs to rectify, which is why everyone has a different job. Someone who comes down here with a job, he's from the left side of Gevurah and he needs to rectify it and be more chesed, for example, or he comes from the right side and he needs to have more, his rectification is the opposite, he needs to be more strict with himself. Right, so everyone has a different job, but no one can argue against it. Yes?
All the people in the world come from Adam.
No, so it depends how we understand many things in Kabbalah, which I don't understand, so I'm only, whatever I'm giving over is very limited, obviously. But the 600,000 root souls of the Jewish nation all come from Adam HaRishon, and my understanding is that makes up Adam HaRishon. Where the root souls of the nations come from?
From Adam Bariyal.
Please explain.
There's a concept called Zelu Matze Asa Hashem. This, opposite this, Hashem created. Adam HaRishon, the spiritual Adam HaRishon, is the root of the souls of all the Jews. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's also something that's the unholy mirror image of Adam HaRishon, which is Adam Bari'al, of the man who has no ilut, there's no benefit from him. And that is the root of the souls of the non-Jews.
Okay.
And in Adam HaRishon, from his left side is Kain, and his right side is Hevel. So there are people who come from the right side, they have a shorsh common with Hevel. People who come from the left side, a shorsh common with Kain.
Okay, so we're all the neshamot come out from Adam HaRishon. And this has a few implications. One of the implications is that Arizal, I think, said that once all of the neshamot have finished coming out of the guf, then that's the end. There's no more new neshamot in the world. Ruach Mashiach. And we're now, and the ikv of the Mashiach, we're now at the heels, is that we're now at the bottom. We're now all the souls that are coming out now, so to speak, are coming out from the feet. Mm-hmm. Right? The feet, the most insensitive dead part of the body is the soul. Right? It's dead skin. Right? And that's us. We're kind of insensitive. We're the lowest part. We're still alive, Baruch Hashem. We're part of, but we're. You're right.
And we're 6 million, then only 600.
600,000 roots. So there's 600,000 root souls, and from those root souls, we're going to learn Bli Neder later on. That each soul, we're not going to get too technical on the first class, but each soul has five different levels.
Right?
Different levels of the soul. In brief, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. And each of those five levels has five different, they've each got their own five levels within the five. So the nefesh has its own five levels, the ruach has its own five levels, each one. So there's 25 times 5 times, whatever it is, multiplied by 600,000. There's plenty to go round. There's enough. Right? You don't have to worry about it. Right? And also we're all mixed. We're also all mixed as well, but that's a whole different thing.
But still under one souls.
So we're saying when the last soul to leave the guf comes out, then you're in Yemot HaMashiach. I don't know what that means, that Moshiach is there, but it means you're in that final time period. That's, I believe, out of what the writings say. Okay. Yeah. So that's the first place we see. First place we see this idea of, what's the word? Gilgul, reincarnation. Of Gilgul is in the case of Seth coming to replace Hevel, Yofi, in order to finish what he started. Right, to fix, yes.
Sorry, this is kind of tangential. Mm-hmm. But if all of our souls come from Adam, is there kind of like a similar progenitor for the animal soul?
The animals or the all animal soul? The animal soul as distinct from man?
Yeah.
Don't know. The animal soul is a different soul. It's not, animal is not Tzelem Elohim. It's not made in the image of God. So it's doesn't have the same thing.
The animals have a low level nefesh, which is in Aussie called the animals. Some of you keep on life. However, as you learn further on, there are human souls, or parts of human souls, get reincarnated into animals for going through certain tikkunim.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you see a dog in the street with a sad, really sad face. You know, he's a Gilgul, or somebody who was a thief and he came back as a dog.
Mm-hmm. Or cats in Jerusalem.
Cats with souls in this place. Cats with neshamot in this place. I was in Machon Meir, where I used to study. So one of the buildings, the first building, has steps going up, like 10 steps, going up to the door. Right? So a cat that would lie across the steps, in the middle, just like lie. Not like just, it was like sprawl. Guys running up in and down, didn't move, didn't care. That is not a normal cat behavior. Right?
I remember once from Kadui in the Galil, going to Meiron, and walked by a boulder. And he turned to the boulder, and he was looking at the boulder, and he was paying attention. He says, "No, you stay there, you're a shop. I'm not fixing you."
Yeah, no.
And now something similar to the raven still. No, you still have time. We're not going to fix you yet. Survive time. And Rav Moshe Mendel was the Nasi of the Nistarim a number of years ago before. The present Nasi, it's not all new, but Rav Moshe Mendel in Bnei Brak, I remember he once, there were several nights in a row, some rats came to the doorstep of the room he was learning in.
Hey, me.
No. Next night. No, not yet. No, go away. So after three or four nights like that, he said, okay, you nimasi, driving you nuts, I'll do your tikkun. The next morning, they're in a row on the doorstep dead. Like that.
Okay. So that's the first place we see in the Torah. Where else do we see the idea of reincarnation in the Torah? So the other major place that's where it's quite apparent is the law of Yibum. What's the law of Yibum? Yibum. When a man dies, and his wife, without giving his wife children, and the husband marries the wife, why does he do that? So the Torah says, in order to establish the offspring of his brother, to create the offspring of his brother, he stands in place in order to give his brother offspring.
The husband who died.
The husband who died. So to continue his line. And the not only is he continuing his line, so he's kind of he's spiritually moving his position to give the seed, if you like, of the dead man, but actually they say that the children that are born from that is the brother who died. Right, he comes back as the children in order to continue his work. Okay. Yes.
How does the idea of Gilgulim coincide with the idea of like a Zilug or a Besher? So if you are reincarnated as your Besher, does it also have to be reincarnated? Otherwise you don't have a Besher?
No. The answer is no. Each time a person is born, the back call comes out from Shemaim and says this one for sure it is that one. It doesn't have to be the same person. It can be. Depends on what rectifications the person still needs to do and what he needs to fix. So for example, it can be that in one lifetime you're the wife and she's the husband and you switch this lifetime.
That's the problem with people. The person who's born is his mother is his wife.
Not a problem. Just an issue.
He has trouble finding his Bashir.
Okay. So it could.
His mother can marry his
mother. No, but in this lifetime, when he's been born, he's now got a new Bashir.
Yes.
Because the Bashir doesn't have to. Because what happens is, we're going to see as we go through the book that the rectifications that happen, the reincarnations, are in order to rectify issues that we messed up in, we didn't complete, we didn't fulfill, we did wrong, and we need to fix them. Right? What does that mean? It means that the people that we dealt with in a previous lifetime need to be in our circles now that we can deal with them. Right? So the people who are around me now that I'm dealing with were the people who were around me in a previous lifetime, but not necessarily at the same, like, you're my friend now, right? And I'm teaching you Torah. But it might be that in a previous lifetime, I was your father, and I didn't teach you Torah, and now I need to fix that. Right? Or anything else? We had a case that I saw. I can't remember from where that the. I was your father, so I'm suggesting.
Yeah, but for you to be my father now.
No, I'm saying I was the dogma. I don't know what. If I was your father in a previous lifetime, and I didn't teach you Torah like I was meant to. Yeah, then now we have to come back and where I can fix that by now teaching you Torah.
Not necessarily this previous life.
No, whenever it was. Whenever it was.
Okay.
Right? And therefore, so now the people around me are people who I had some connection with, but it doesn't matter what the connection was previously. Now I just need some connection to fix the problem, whether it's to give you money, if I was married to you as a wife and I didn't pay out your ketubah, now you might be my business partner and I now need to pay you money for a business deal, whatever, right? To fix all of those. So the people around us, we've been with before in different reincarnations as family or as friends or as business partners or some other close associate. Right? Which is why some people, right? Which is why when you meet some people initially, you get on with them very well, you have an attraction to them, and there's something that, you know, there's like, you know, there's a Kesha there. Right? And maybe also true with your wife. When you meet your wife, there's a Kesha there already, because actually you've been together in some form or another for the last 2,000 years, one way or another. The whole example, and other people just don't interest you. Like, they're not relevant. You meet someone, yeah, very nice to meet you. Yeah. Right? They're just like, there's no connection, because I've got no business here. I've got nothing to do. There's no need for me to get friendly with you. It's not gonna achieve anything. So Hashem is not put that into the picture.
Two issues that I want to bring up.
Yeah.
One is the reincarnation of those that died in the Shoah, and two, the incredible number of Gerim now, vis-a-vis with the Shoah.
Okay. Yeah.
It means he was in his lifetime before, but he's something now he has to come back.
It can be. There are those commentators who say that many people who died in the Holocaust, who were assimilated Jews, right? They weren't practicing their Judaism. So now they need to rectify that by coming back from being a non-Jew to actually want to have Judaism, right? When you give up your Judaism, because there's only been one generation, really, I mean, the Hellenists and whatever, but there's only been one main generation when that happened, which was the Holocaust, where the generation where people started giving up their Yiddishkeit. It happened before, but not in such a large numbers.
Wholesale.
And now what do we see? So now in the generation following that, or where we are now, let's say following that, we have two phenomena. One is Gerim, like we've never seen before, which is people who chose, but they weren't Jewish, and now choosing to take on Judaism. And the similar type of thing, which is Baal Teshuva, which is a person who completely lost all their Judaism or was never really from at all because they never had it. And now taking it all on completely from nothing, which is a rectification from throwing it all away, from having it and then getting rid of it.
The Spanish.
Moranis.
The Moranis. The Jews, they lost Christian, they moved them
although,
to South America.
Okay, so
now,
right, so
many people.
So maybe, so look, it may be, so those souls also need to go through a similar rectification, or maybe not, because in those cases in the past, certainly with the it was against their will, right? And it's different than doing it from your own free will and saying, "Oh, forget this. Let's go down and watch the movies," right? And becoming enlightened and doing all right. So that may need a Gilgul of coming back into this world and formally choosing, like many of us chose, to take on Judaism or to be more Jewish or whatever it is, right? As opposed to other rectifications. We're going to see that Gilgul is just one of the types of rectification that exists. Like, you can rectify by going through the Gehinnom, you can rectify a few different things. Coming back and rectifying this way is just one of the options. There's five, we're going to see B'li Neder later, five different options for rectification, and one of them is a Gilgul, to come back and fix it down here.
We're given a choice.
Depends on the sin. Some sins can only be fixed one way or the other. Other ones, you get the choice whether you want to. Right? Because it's not easy. It's to come down here is not. It should
when
be
you
first.
Have the chance to come back. I read the story about Rabbi Nachman told the story about the Baal Shem Tov.
Mm-hmm.
Once he was traveling, he was in town. He saw 300 souls around him. So he was for 1.5 days very quiet. He said nothing. Then he said, on Shabbat evening, he said, invite me, as before, all people that come to visit in this city to make a. So there came only two people. Then after, he told that when he not invite people that will come from this city, he have to die. Because you have to fix all the 300 souls because of the merit of the two guests that came,
uh-huh.
You have not to die.
Uh-huh.
But then, this was only, but I don't understand the.
How is it? Right.
Why
you
die because of the two. But as many souls have not come back. So, the same was with Rabbi Nachman. He was very, very, very
Okay, so what's next? So the Kabbalistic texts, particularly the Zohar, are those which talk about the mechanics of reincarnation, how it works, right? It's not explicit in the Torah, although we have like Yibum, where it's implied and commentators explain that's what's going on. So the Zohar was really the first major text to deal with reincarnation head on and say this is what's happening and this is reincarnating this one and this is the reason why, etc. So in the Zohar, the Zohar itself is one of the books, the main book of the Zohar, is divided up according to the Parashiyot. If you read the Zohar, you open up a Bereishit, Shemot, Yudah Yishlach, the Parasha of the week. And the Zohar there explains, based on the Parasha, deep underlying spiritual concepts that are within the Parasha, right, that you won't see on the Pshat level. So anyway, so where does it talk about Gilgul reincarnation? So it talks about that in the Parasha of Mishpatim. The Parasha of Mishpatim is apparently the Parasha, Zohar explains, of Gilgulim. So on the Parasha of Mishpatim starts with Eile Mishpatim Tassim B'nei Adam. Right, these are the laws and the judgments which I will put before man, Hashem says. And the Zohar over there goes on to explain all the laws of reincarnation in that section. Why? So one of the reasons that's given is that the essence of reincarnation is as a result of all these laws and judgments. All these laws and rules means that if you didn't do them, you didn't abide by them, you need to come back and fix them. Right? You need the law of Gilgulim, of reincarnation, is based on, that comes about from the fact that there are these rules and judgments that you need to abide by, right? And it's essentially a means of achieving what you're meant to achieve. And Hashem wants that every neshama is fixed, every neshama does what it's meant to do, and therefore it has a number of occasions where it can do that, particularly through the laws of judgments and cases and claims, right? So, for example, we said last week in the class, but we'll mention it again now. The story of the Besht, the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov, his main student, was the Maggid of Mezrich. The Maggid of Mezrich once came to the Baal Shem Tov and said, "Rebbe, can you teach me about the laws of Gilgulim, about reincarnation?" So the Besht said to him, "Yeah, if you want to understand the law of Gilgulim, go to this field and go to a certain tree and climb up the tree and wait there." So this tree was next to a river. So Magda Metridge went to the tree, found the tree he was talking about, climbed up it, and sat there waiting. So not long after, a boy came A man came and sat down to have a drink of water from the stream, and a purse of gold coins fell out of his pocket, and he didn't see it, and he left it there. Mm. Next, a young boy comes along, sees the money, takes it, and runs off with it. Says, "Thank you very much, very nice." Then an old man comes to the same place, same stone under the tree, sits down, takes a drink of water, and sitting there drinking water, and the first man who lost his wallet comes back to the same place and says to the old man, "Did you see my wallet?" He said, "No." He said, "You stole my wallet, you must have taken it." He's like, "No." And the man doesn't believe him, he starts hitting him, beats him up. So what's going on here? So the man in the Medrash is scratching his head and thinking this is all weird and back to front. So comes back to the Besht, and the Besht explains to him, "What you just saw was the law, was divine justice taking place. That's divine justice based on Gilgulim. What you saw were two litigants and the judge in a legal case. One of the litigants conspired with the judge to defraud the other litigant, to take the money that wasn't his. The man who lost the money, he was the litigant who unfairly took money from the other litigant, what didn't belong to him. So he had to lose it back. And the boy who found the money was the other litigant. So he got the money back that he'd lost in another lifetime from that man who'd taken it from him. And the old man who got beaten up, that was the judge. And that was the punishment that he got for being involved in it. He didn't gain any money. He was just involved in the conspiracy. So he got his lashes. He got beaten up for his remedy. And that's divine justice. The people come back to do that. In the chapter on Mishpatim that we were mentioning in the Torah, it says, it talks about the case of the accidental murderer. We know the case of the accidental murderer is a strange one. That what happens is if a person murders deliberately, so he's tried and he's killed if they have witnesses, etc., etc. But an accidental murderer, he gets to run away to a city of refuge. Right. So the Torah says about that. I'll read the English, which is over here in the translation. One who strikes a man who dies will be put to death. Right, that's the intentional murderer. But one who had not waited in ambush, right, one who didn't wait in ambush, meaning it was an accident, right, didn't deliberately plan it, and God caused it to come into his hand, I will provide a place from which he can flee. I'll provide a place from a city of refuge he can flee to. So what does it mean, and God caused it to come into his hand? So that's an interesting thing, right? God caused him to be in a place where he killed someone. Right? He didn't intend it. It wasn't my free choice. I didn't want to kill someone. It just happened. It was an accident. There I was chopping wood in the famous example, and the axe flew off the handle. The metal bit flew off the wooden bit and hit someone.
That's why it's called an accidental murder.
An accidental murder. You're familiar. Come on, Nick. You're smart. Very good. Okay. So there's the accidental murder. Right? So how can it be? So God caused it to happen. Well, we know from our principles of when God causes everything to happen anyway. But why was it that God caused it to happen? So in Masechet Makot, Yud Amud Bet, it explains that verse from the Torah. What's it explain over there? So it explains as follows. I'll just read it through. This case is about two men. One man had killed accidentally, and the other man had killed purposely, and there were no witnesses to either act. This is in the previous Google. Therefore, the one who killed premeditatedly was not sentenced to death. There was no witnesses. And the other one did not have to flee to a city of refuge. Again, two men who killed, one accidentally and one on purpose. No witnesses. No one saw it. So no one, they just went about their life, right? Wasn't dealt with. What did God do? He arranged that both men would come to the same place. The one who killed purposely came to the same end. One who killed purposely sat under a ladder, while the one who killed accidentally climbed up on the ladder and fell down onto the one who killed on purpose, thereby killing him. Right? So he gets his rectification because he should have been killed for killing purposely. So he gets his rectification. This time, though, there were witnesses. And so the one who fell off the ladder had to go to a city of refuge. Therefore, the one who was killed by accident was exiled, and the one who was killed on purpose was killed. Right? So Hashem fixes issues, things that happened in previous, by what happens now. Right? And this is one of the greatest lessons that a person can learn to understand his life, to understand the world, to understand what Emunah means. Right, we say Emunah, everything Hashem does is for the best, everything, it's all for the good, Hashem knows what he's doing, Hashem would never do something that wasn't correct, Hashem is just, Yafi. But to us, how can it be? How can it be this one's got, he's got lots of money and he's a really evil guy, and this one's got no money and he's a tzaddik, and this one's got children that are ill, and that one's got 400 children, this one's got no children, and this one needs a wife, and he's still 50, and he's now 50 years old, still don't get married. And from this lifetime, from our four walls, what we see with our own eyes, doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. But with the wider perspective of fixing previous matters, then everything makes sense. Everything makes sense in that we don't have to know. We will know that when we get upstairs, everything was divine, divinely perfect. Right? I had money and then I lost it. I had a wife and I had to get divorced. I didn't get married at all. Everything is a tikkun for something previously. And we agreed it, right? We know that in the previous lifetime, I was mean to this person. And in order to fix it, I need to come back and have something not very pleasant happen to me in this lifetime. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Right? But, and Hashem says, this is what's going to happen to you. Right? We accept it before we come down here. And no one has any claim upstairs about their conditions. Yes?
Let's say the two guys in heaven. So now they're judging the first case. So he killed him. So you forgive him? And they say, no, then he has to come back or they
Which case? Sorry, say the case.
No, in the second case, they come. They have to
they're
come
in
back
a ladder and to fix this? No.
He killed him. You say, in the previous life, he killed him. Now he
Not
has to come back.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't kill each other. They killed other people.
Two different people.
This one killed that person, that one by accident. This one killed that person on purpose. But
why
now
why
I need
to
they're
back?
Both murderers.
Why do you have to come back? Because they're not rich. Because
they didn't fix it.
They're not. Yeah, they're now they haven't been caught. They say you've killed a person.
Yes.
The other day they was killed, say, I forgive him.
So we have. No.
Right.
We have. So there's five different ways of doing tshuva that we're going to see later. One of them is a Gilgul to come back and fix it down here. It's not the only way. Depends what exactly were the circumstances. So it may be that just going through Gehinnom is enough. It may be that some of the other punishments that exist in Shemayim are enough. The system of divine justice depends on a lot of things. Many things. The actual murder itself. He was provoked. He wasn't provoked. He knew what he was doing. He didn't. Who knows? All the many and everything's perfect justice. These are just broad outlines to give us the picture. Like this case, the man who went up the ladder and fell on another man, it didn't exist. But why do I need to know? To know the rule that that's the type of thing that's going on. Learn from this general idea of one man was walking up a ladder, fell on another man. Learn from that that there's a whole system of rectifications going on.
Guy, you fell from the ladder, you have to run very fast with you. With you to replace where is the coin. Because his brother...
Is a goal Adam can kill him. That also has its. But only if Hashem lets, right? Whatever happens is within the system of divine hashgacha and free will and how that all works, but it's not the free will, it's not the topic.
But this explains why the last three generations we've had an incredible number of accidents with everything from cars, planes, you name it. It's just.
Okay, I mean, one of the things that we can take away from this is it should be a running theme to understand throughout the whole purpose of what we're learning here is to know what's going on with us, and we have to know that if, as our teachers tell us, we are in the final days, we're the level of the feet, we're the end of the 6,000th generation, and we've been here. We're going to see many times, up to 1,000 times. Up to 1,000 times we've been here. Then there's a lot to fix. A lot to fix. Right? 1,000, let's say 1,000, doesn't it? Let's not take 1,000, let's take 500. 100 lifetimes of daily interactions with people that need fixing is a lot. Right? Some were fixed already, but others were, right? So what that means is, we're living in a very stressful, very tense, very pressured time where lots and lots of things are happening. And from the time a person wakes up in the morning and gets the bus, goes to the coffee room, comes into yeshiva, he's already been through, fixed, dealt with numerous tikkunim, right? That needed fixing, right? Continually all day long, which is why our life seems to be so hectic, so pressured, so many things happening, so many, this one's really not well, this one's got such a bad disease, this one had loads of money, this one lost it, such huge, crazy thing, continually, every day, something else, because we're in that time now where everything needs to be fixed.
But you can change,
right? We want to
be. That's it, it's the degree you have to die by accident. You can change in your life that you're not going to die by accident.
Yeah.
You should look at everything. Well, everything is good. Which means
has excuses. I'm just doing tikkunim right and left. I'm killing two or three people a day. That's my tikkun. You know, how far can it go? Maybe he can prevent himself.
Nahum. So, look, it comes into the bigger question of free will and emunah, and then everything in the world is good. Even all the evil is good, and Yofi, and this one's just fixing that, and that one's just fixing this. But also the fact that anything that needs to happen, Hashem puts evil through an evil person. Why? Because that person's going to get punished. Right? The person who is just doing the tikkunim is he will, because he's punished, because Hashem only sends the evil, if you like, the bad, what we see as bad, through an evil person, because he's going to have to get punished for it. Right? Everyone has free will whether or not to carry out. I don't want to be the one who has to shoot him. If you want to be the one who has to shoot him, then I'm going to put the gun into your hand and you're going to do it. You don't want to know. Thank you very much. I'm not shooting no one. Right? But if I, give it to me, give me. Right? So then, right.
You reach in the end, I don't want it to be
exactly.
Yeah.